Hi, I'm Jason Mefford, and you're in the right place to start transforming your career and life with this podcast. I've been in the trenches as an executive leader, and now I'm an executive coach and confidential advisor to executives all over the world. I use a multidisciplinary approach to improve learning that drives transformation by getting to the root cause in a practical, no-nonsense way. I love learning and sharing what makes people tick. You get both education and entertainment, since learning shouldn't be boring, right? But that's enough about me. This podcast is a combination of intuitive leadership, neural influence, and mental mastery to take your career and life to levels you've never thought possible. If you're wanting to improve yourself, develop stronger relationships professionally and personally, make quicker, better decisions, and become a more effective leader, then of course, this podcast is for you because you are going to learn how to manage emotions in yourself and others, avoid burnout, stress, and anxiety, master your mind, get people to listen and take action, and become a lifelong learner. And when you do that, you will have a positive mental attitude, executive leadership presence, and the skills to know exactly what to say and do in any situation. I'm glad you're here. So, let's get started.
Hello, fire goddesses. Welcome to another episode. Okay, I have to say that I am really, really excited about my next guest for a few reasons that you'll quickly discover. First of all, this is my very first male guest. And second of all, I've known Jason now for about a year and a half or so, correct, Jason? And I just love his energy. I love what he has to offer. We just had a quick chat before pressing record, and I'm really excited to introduce you all to my next guest, Jason Mefford. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well, Angela. How are you? And it's quite an honor. I get to be the first male, so I'm bringing some testosterone into the group, right?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Like, this is a real treat, and I love what you offer and bring to the table. So, first of all, before we go any farther, I would love if you could just tell the audience a little about who you are, Jason, and how you help people.
Yeah, so I've got several different businesses actually that I run, but most of it all really kind of comes back to helping people learn, right? So I have some training companies, but also helping people kind of get out of fear and the anxiety and everything else that ends up happening, because, you know, and specifically usually towards corporate employees, because that's where I spent most of my time. I was an executive at some big companies. And what I found is, you know, we like to think that we have boundaries around work-life balance, but we don't, right? I mean, we're just who we are. And if we have a bad day at work, I'm not sure, can I swear on here too or not?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say shitty day at work, right? Because that kind of hits it more than just a bad day. Then chances are we're going to come home. Right. Well, we're going to come home, and depending on the energy and what was going on, where we spend the majority of our waking hours spills over into our personal life. So if I come home, I'm mad, I kick the dog, I yell at the kids, whatever, that energy, you know, permeates into everything else I do. Plus, you know, we feel pretty bad about ourselves. And that's, you know, I think one of the problems is, I kind of say, you know, corporate slavery is alive and well. I know you're not supposed to use the word slavery, but, you know, a lot of people feel like they're really stuck in their job. They hate going into work. They hate seeing their boss. And so, you know, trying to help people not have to feel that way, to give them the hope and realize things can be different, even if you're working for somebody else, right? Because it's more about you than it is about them.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, right? Because I know I've had corporate jobs before and jobs in general where I've worked for other people. And there's always this, I'd say most of the time, this drama associated with, oh my gosh, I hate that person, or oh my gosh, the boss is here, like, look busy, like all that stuff that goes on in corporate and work culture. And I love how you said that. It's really not about the other person. It's about you, right? Everything starts with you. So I would love to know a little bit more about how you, when you're working with corporations, like how you teach that to people and help them with that.
Yeah. So the one thing that I like to do is use some analogies. And the one that I like to use is the mirror. Right. And you've kind of heard this too from some of the programs we've been in together, is that life reflects you. And so for example, if you're a leader or you're somebody who's supervising somebody else, and they come in, you know, this employee comes in and they're in a bad mood or they're irritable or they're whatever, right? If they're reflecting that to you, chances are the reason they're doing that is you're reflecting that to them. Yes. And so much of this is, you know, taking that personal responsibility and getting your own shit together, because as you change your internal world, you will change the world around you. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to help give people some of these tools. Right. Because again, I work with a lot of executives and they always come in and it's like, oh, okay, here's a real life example. Okay. I was having a coaching call with an executive a couple weeks ago, and she came in and we were talking about a particular employee that she was having problems with. Okay. So we started talking about the employee. She gave me a little bit more detail, and about, you know, 10 minutes into it, I said, you know what? You don't have an employee problem. You have a relationship problem. And she said, what? And I said, the reason your employee is acting the way she is, why she's doing the things that you don't like her to do, is you don't have a strong enough relationship with that employee where she can feel like she can be honest and open with you. That's why you're having the issues. Mm-hmm. It's not a her problem. It's a you problem. You haven't done what you need to do to develop that relationship so you can have that open and honest communication.
And this is so, so common in the workplace. I mean, so, so common. So I'm just curious to know, you know, when it's a leadership problem, and you say this to these people, these corporate execs, right? I'm assuming they're high up there, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, we learn in a program we were both in about being internally referenced versus externally referenced, right? Like sometimes people don't, when you're informed by yourself, right? Some people don't always take that very well. So how do they typically handle that feedback?
Well, that's where you try to ask the questions, right? You try to lead people with the questions, because that's one of the things that I try to teach people too, is some of the influencing skills of, you know, how to have some of those conversations. Because, you know, I could sit there and try to convince somebody, but I'm not going to convince anybody, just like they're not going to convince their employees, right? So you ask certain questions so they come to their own conclusion, right?
Yeah.
And one of the problems is, you know, it's another tool that I teach people, and we've learned this too, is about stories, right? Is that, especially in the corporate world, we use the word power, but really in the corporate world, it's force, not power. You're forcing someone to do something. You're controlling someone, right? These are words that we use, and we teach people in the corporate world to use this force and coercion to get things done. Now, the reason for that, okay, most especially here in the US, and it's really kind of true everywhere in the world because I've worked all over the world, is most organizations run on a command and control mentality. Now, why do they run on command and control? Because after the Second World War was over, we had millions of people who had served in the military come home and apply those military concepts in the organizations that they work for. That's why we have hierarchical, we have, you know, titles, we have all of these other things, because that's what we were taught. That's what we've continued to teach for a long time. And the problem is it kills people. It literally kills people to do that, both the person as the leader and also the person who's the follower, right? Yeah. Because another thing that we have to remember is, and I've seen this in my own personal life, is that a lot of times we try to tell people that it's not okay to be themselves. Mm-hmm. We tell people that you have to do things a certain way, even if that's not in our nature. And so the problem is, if I'm a kind and loving person, which I am, and I get told that I have to do something that is mean, or that I know is going to be hurtful to someone else, but I just have to pull up my big boy pants and that's what I have to do, right? Leader does that. Well, there's different ways that you can do things, right?
Yeah.
And so it's how you choose to do it and being authentic to who you are is one of those things that's going to decouple you from this. And what I'll share is, you know, one of the jobs that I had was in what's called public accounting. I worked for the largest accounting firm in the world at the time, Arthur Andersen. Arthur Andersen got themselves in trouble because of Enron, and we ended up going out of business very quickly because of some of that stuff. Now, the problem was I had tied my own personal self-worth to my job.
Yes.
And so when you do that, and then you watch the company around you disintegrate, or we get told things, you know, like this was a lie that we got told, but I had to lie because I was one of the leaders, right? Is, you know, we had to convince everybody in our company to stay, because things weren't looking good, people were going to leave. And so we got told, look, we have to have a critical mass of people if we're going to sell ourselves to some of the other firms. So we have to keep people. So tell people, we're not firing anybody. You got to hold on. You got to do all this stuff. So we got to the point, we did a deal. And what do you think happened a week or two later? Now we got to fire a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not true to who I was. Did that eat me up inside? Oh yeah. Right. And there's so many people that end up in that situation. They don't feel like they can be themselves authentically, and it's literally killing them. You know, so another thing that I teach people is just be yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with being weird or a little bit different. We're all that way. Right? You don't have to fit some stereotypical mold, and you can be an amazing leader, an amazing person, exactly the way you are. Right? I love Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
So that's so, you know, one of the things that I grew up with and that I try to tell people as well is you're special exactly the way you are, and it's okay. And you don't have to be anybody different.
Yeah, I'm so glad that there's people like you out there in the world, Jason, that you are doing the work that you're doing specifically in corporations, because I know, I mean, you mentioned even the people in leadership and the people that are being led are literally dying. You said it's killing them, right? Mm-hmm. Because of all the stress associated with not showing up authentically, being in fear, fearing, you know, that you're going to be whatever, shamed, ridiculed, losing your job. And I think that's just a really powerful message, not only for corporate America, but because a majority of the people that in the world are working for corporate America still, they still work for other people. And I know that I have witnessed that in jobs where it's like, oh my, like I've treated people in my acupuncture practice because I was in Boston and, you know, talk about type A city, right?
Where North, like, Northeast.
Oh, fast paced, crazy. And most of my patients worked these high pressure jobs and they would come into my office and I was often treating, I mean, most of the time I was treating stress and manifestations of stress, whether it be, you know, intense body, musculoskeletal pain, you know, they come in like this, like, you know, with their arm, their shoulders are literally attached to their ears. And it, the list goes on, and it can get really, it can become very, very unhealthy and toxic for these people. So I'm so happy to hear that you're offering people this opportunity because like you said, it's, we're meant to be weird. We're not meant to all walk around in the same, like, you know, suit and tie and wear the same clothes. And to be able to embrace who we are can actually not only make the person happier, but it can also just make the workspace happier, right? When you don't have, and I, you know, I'd love if we could dive into that, just the energy in a workplace when people are happy versus unhappy.
Well, and I'll give you a real life story of Jason, okay, to kind of illustrate some of this for kind of the reason why I'm doing this as well. Okay. So I was an executive, pretty big company. People wouldn't know what it is, but if you eat out in a restaurant once or twice a month, you would have eaten some of our product, right? And so a lot of responsibilities. We get a new CEO in, which I didn't agree with some of the direction that he was wanting to take things. Okay. So obviously there's some contention and some other stuff that is going on in there, but I didn't have some of the tools that I teach people. Okay. And so I was trying to deal with it the best I knew, which was without any help. Right. And so, you know, a couple of things ended up happening to the point to where I came out of one meeting up on the executive floor, went into the stairwell to go back down to my office. And I just started feeling very anxious when I left the meeting, right? Because I knew that there were some things that were going to not be so good for Jason after that meeting. And I went into the stairwell. And like I said, I was just getting really anxious. I got into the stairwell and all of a sudden I just leaned up against the wall and I couldn't move. And I had a panic attack in the stairwell.
Wow.
Right. It's like, I got to get out of here, but I can't move. You know, all my senses were going crazy. I could smell the concrete and the iron, you know, in the, you know, the access stairwell, but I couldn't move. Right. And at the same time, I mean, I was on high blood pressure medicine. I was on antidepressants. I was in a marriage that was headed for divorce. And so, you know, again, those are not all excuses, but, you know, within a 1 month time, I lost my job and I got divorced. So that's the kind of real pressure and things that people are living with. You know, when we've got research studies that are showing 80% of people in the US are significantly stressed. That's serious, folks. I mean, that's like serious.
And
you know, again, I mean, kind of, so that's, I don't want people to go through that. But a lot of times we sometimes have to go through that before we actually wake up, which is unfortunate. Right. But kind of back to your question, well, what can we do different? Well, there's a lot of things we can actually do different in the workplace. And certain companies are starting to recognize this. I think it was about three years ago now, I went to the Workful Mind Place Summit, right? So it was actually some of the biggest companies in the world talking about how can we change the workplace and allow for some of these things to come in. And again, mindfulness is a big term, means a lot of things to different people. But what's amazing is that, you know, people find out that, you know what, if you allow people to take breaks, if you allow people to stop and meditate for 5 or 10 minutes, if you make a place so that, you know, they can go in and do yoga or something like that, you know, on a break, when you allow space and you are not so frenetic in what you're trying to do, you actually get better productivity.
Exactly.
Because this is what happens. And again, there's been lots of research studies about this. People think that by working more, you get more productivity, but you don't. In fact, after 50 hours a week, and I've worked way more than 50 hours a week, every additional hour you spend, you're taking away from your overall productivity. And what's interesting, right? So again, is to bring in some of the science and the psychology to it, especially now this last little while with everybody working from home. A lot of the executives are like, oh, we got to get people back in the office. We got to have our finger on them because they're not actually doing any work unless we're watching them. Well, interestingly enough, an employee in the office is productive about 50% of the time when the boss is there with their finger on them. At home, where they have a little bit more space, they have a little bit more flexibility, they're more like 60% productive. And they're willing to actually work more because they don't have the hour or 2 hour commute each way.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so what people have seen going through this last little while is, I never want to go back to the fucking office, right? It stresses me out. Now, there's going to be a balance, right? But again, what we're seeing is it doesn't have to be the way it is. And part of it is allowing people to be who they are instead of trying to fit everybody in the box, focusing on relationships instead of transactions. So this is another thing, you know, we think that to be more productive, we've got to just check things off our to-do list, right? And we got to be productive. And I remember getting told early in my career, Jason, you're very productive, but you run people over. You don't want to hear that from your boss, right? Like the first part's great. So I have to learn, right? And sometimes we have to make choices of, hey, I'm sitting across from Angela. She's a human being. I need to treat her like a human being. I need to focus more on our relationship as human beings and things will work out. But if you don't have that relationship, if everything is transactional in nature, it never works that way, right? Because then we feel like a number, right? To bring in Bob Seger here, I feel like a number. No, I was going to say.
Jason is also a musician. You haven't already noticed that.
when we're only good for transactions, we feel like a transaction.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm hearing you say, and I think a lot of people have sensed this for a long time, is that this command and control culture that showed up in the 40s and 50s is way out. It's like, what, 75 years old right now? It's
outdated. Way out of date.
It's old school. So it's time to say goodbye to that and welcome in a new work culture. And I know my husband works for a corporation, and I see how they really support their employees and give them, you know, the freedom to, you know, work where they want, when they want to, a little bit more than maybe it's a tech company. And I know tech companies are a little different than the financial companies and the more conservative companies. But And you also mentioned the word choice, which is a word that I love. Choice. Life is choice, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to the workplace, right? How do you teach your clients the idea that everything is choice?
Yeah, I mean, we're ultimately responsible for everything.
Yeah.
Right. And I think sometimes too, we feel like we have to do something because we're told we have to do it.
Yes.
Right. And that goes back to that command and control programming. Hey, if the general asks you to jump, you know, in the middle of the air, you're asking, how high, sir? Right. I mean, that's the old joke, right?
Yes.
Instead of, you know, today where it's like, well, I'm sorry, sir, but why do you want me to jump? Right. This isn't life and death. Right. If we're in a battle and we could die, command and control might be more important. But what we're doing is not. And, you know, it should be OK to question. It should be OK to, you know, bring up some of those things. Now, we have to realize, obviously, and be responsible for whatever choice we may make. But I think, you know, this is another thing to where we've really had people effectively in slavery, right? Yeah. Working for these companies because it's like, well, I can't get another job because if I, you know, I don't have enough in my savings that, you know, if I go without work for a while, you know, I can't pay my rent or my health insurance is with my employer, right? That's a little trick that people that they have to hold on to you. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing just in the marketplace in general is employees have the power now. The employer always used to have the power. You do what I tell you to do or else I'm going to fire you, right? Well, now I don't care if you're going to fire me, right? So we all have a choice. And again, I don't want to, you know, make it seem like, well, if you're not happy in your job, just go get another job, because that won't work either, right? So one of the partners that I used to work with, he told me a story once where he's like, you know, I was because public accounting, you work a lot of hours. I mean, during busy times of the year, we'd put in 80, 90 hours sometimes. So I wasn't sleeping very much, right?
No.
And he told me one time, he says, you know, I left public accounting and went into corporate world. Because, oh, you know, corporate or public accounting is making me work too much, right? So he went into corporation and then he came back to public accounting. And he told me, he said, I realized it wasn't public accounting. It was me that was working those hours, right? And so again, ultimately, it's like, that's where the mirror comes in, folks, right? Is again, if you're not happy where you're at, why aren't you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really your employer? Is it really your boss? Or is it the way you're showing up or not showing up that's really the problem? Because again, as I said before, it's usually not a them problem. It's a you problem.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like just because of generations of going through this, I know I was reading something about even just the going back as far as the Industrial Revolution, the reason why we are in such this masculine, you know, and sometimes, and it's a buzzword now, the toxic masculine culture, right? Comes as far back, probably even farther than that, right? Where people, you know, like there were jobs, there were things to do in order to survive. You had to get these jobs and you had to work hard. And now I just feel like we're in this very pivotal, exciting time where people are starting to realize, hey, like you said, we can choose. And if I don't like what's going on in the workplace, A, I can make a choice and I'm not going to die, right? And I feel like going back to that toxic masculinity that came with a belief system that, I mean, even like my dad talks about how he was raised by, you know, my grandfather, who's from the greatest, you know, generation.
Greatest generation.
And that generation, they were byproducts of, you know, children are to be seen and not heard. And that's, you know, there's no negotiation there. That's just the way it is. And so knowing that, when I feel that when you have this understanding of where it comes from, and that we're still living this paradigm that's like super outdated, seeing how people are getting sick, like literally physically sick, you know, there's experts out there that talk about the illness and disease, and healing is all about, you know, what's going on in our heads. But I feel like choice is a very powerful, to know that you have that agency. I think that's where I'm trying to bring it back to the idea of agency, is that I don't believe that we were really taught, or so many people were taught, to know that we have power and we have agency to live our own lives. Like, we're always worried about, and it, you know, look how it seeps into needing the, you know, external validation, social media. It can go on and on and on. But I feel that this is going to be really helpful to the goddesses and maybe the gods listening now.
Well, and I mean, you know, too, I mean, with your audience as well. I mean, we know that the, you know, words like toxic masculinity. Okay. I'm a man. I'm not one of those men. Okay. But we know that there is a shifting of the energy on the planet. And for 500 years, we've been under mainly masculine energy influence. It has changed, right? It's been changing. There's been some things the last few years that have really pushed that forward. And, you know, again, part of that is command and control is a masculine energy form of leadership. That is not going to be successful in the future, because that's not the energy paradigm that we're living on in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And things are not black and white. That's another thing that so many people like to believe, and we feel like most of the time we don't choose, we decide. We decide based on the choices that are given to us, right? Would you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? Well, I'd like neither one, thank you very much. I like cookies and cream better, right? But we feel like we're only stuck with that. And that, it kind of reminds me, it was a, it popped into my head. So here we go. Somebody's supposed to hear this story. But when I was, I've always been one to kind of see the world differently than other people, which makes me a little different, right? Because I cry bullshit when I see bullshit. Okay. Love it. And so I remember, I remember when I was a teenager, I was in high school. And I was in German class. So German English or German language class, right? And our teacher was having a bad day. She was kind of stressed out. This girl across the room was making like funny faces at me, and I started laughing. So, you know, she took it out on me, right? Jason, go out in the hall, right? You've been a bad kid, go out in the hall, right? And so I go out in the hall, and after a while, one of the students sticks their head out the door and says, "Hey, Frau Wenwick says you can come back in now if you'd like to." Right? Notice the words, "You can come back in now if you'd like to." So I just sat in the hall. And a few minutes later, she comes out again. "Why didn't you come back in when I told you to come back in?" "No, you said come back in if I feel like coming back in. I didn't feel like coming back in." "Go to the principal's office, blah, 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 blah," right? So I go down to the principal's office. Second time I've been in the principal's office my whole life. Explain the story, and the principal's like, "Really? That's why you're here?" Right? But again, it was, I could have just done what I was told, but I chose something different. We all have the power to choose. There will be consequences for whatever we choose, but we have, as long as we're accept that and responsible for that, that's okay.
And for people out there that are like, "Yeah, there's consequences," and then that is what I'm afraid of. So I feel like that is, that is the kicker, right? Because, and we know each other from the same community where we talk about these kinds of things all the time. There are consequences and there are difficulties in life. And that is where, my friend, the lessons lie, is working through these consequences as a result of the choices that we make as individuals. And to know that while there is going to be things that come up that are not going to feel good, that is where the growth happens. And so many people I know, because people are reaching out to me in my DMs and my, you know, Facebook Messenger and saying, help, you know, so-and-so, my mom's not accepting me for my choices to do A, B, and C or whatever it is. What should I do? And there's so much of that going on. But to know that if you're not happy in your life, that is a choice and you can make different choices. You pay the consequences, but where would you rather be? You know, stuck, worrying about what people think of you, or free?
Well, and most of the time, right? I mean, this goes to the past, present, future states, right? If we're thinking in the future, then we're worried potentially or anxious about something that may or may not happen. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it ain't going to happen.
True.
Okay. So usually the worst thing that we think is going to happen is not what happens. And like you said, the growth comes from making mistakes that aren't really mistakes. That's how we grow and learn. Yeah. Right. And so we just have to be willing to go on the ride and see where it takes us. Because at the end of the day, we're not going to die. Right. I had to go to the principal's office. Oh, I didn't die. Right. You know, if somebody's having an issue with people not accepting them, okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? They may not accept you, but a whole other group of people are going to very much accept you. Right. And you and I know that from firsthand experience too.
Yeah. Yeah, there are always going to be so many people out there that are going to love you for who you are. But that happens when you decide to choose yourself first. And Jason, I just love the impact that you're making in the world and helping all these folks with corporate jobs. I know that people are going to hear this episode and really just resonate. So many people have been in fear for whatever reason in their job and are going to relate to what we are talking about. So do you have any quick tips for people that are in jobs and they're not happy, they're stuck, they're noticing it's affecting their health, they don't like their boss? Do you have any quick little tips? Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest ones that is so simple that people think, oh, well, this doesn't work, is just breathe. Mm-hmm. If we just stop and breathe. So I even do this when I'm on stage giving speeches, right? And people probably think that I am wacko nutso when I start off at the beginning, right? Like last week I was giving a speech. And so I had everybody put their hands in the air and wave them like, you just don't care, right? Kind of thing. And then I said, okay, now sit up, you know, hands on your thighs, close your eyes, breathe, right? And we went through and actually had them breathe for 30 seconds. Totally different energy feel in that, right? Because so much of the time we're stuck in the future or the past and we're not in the present. Breathing and closing your eyes allows you, even just for 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, right? If you've got an iWatch or a watch, Apple Watch, right? It's bugging you all day to breathe. There's a reason for that, right? So that's a very, very simple thing that you can do anywhere, anytime, if you just need a break. You know, another quick, easy thing too, especially for people that are office workers, is, you know, when you're feeling stuck or you're feeling anxious, do what's called a hemispheral switch, which is if your legs are crossed one way, cross them the next way, or wave your hands or do something just to move your body a little bit. Because the other thing is, you know, we spend so much of our time in our head, but we also have a heart and we have a gut. And the problem is, if you want to get out of your head, then get into your heart or get into your gut. Feel or do, right? So head, heart, gut, think, feel, do. And so one of the quickest ways to, you know, make the shift is just move. Yeah. Just move for 30 seconds. And it's literally like your brain kind of reboots itself at that point, and then just focus on what happens to be right ahead of you.
So simple. And I feel like we as humans overcomplicate things all the time. And we think that in order to change, we need to, you know, do all these crazy things. And really it's,
I have to go to a Zen Buddhist retreat for 12 days of silence. No, yeah. All you got to do is breathe for 30 seconds.
Yeah. And you have that Zen Buddhist retreat within you at any time through the breath. So I love those tips, Jason. Thank you so much. And how can people find you who, you know, they're listening and they're like, you know, I really want to know more. How can people look you up, reach out to you?
Yeah. So probably the easiest way is on my website. So I do have a podcast as well, but if you go to jasonmefford.com, you can pretty much find where I'm at, the different places. I've got YouTube and I'm all over, you know, different places, but that's a good place for you to start. At that point, there's even a contact thing on there too, if you want to reach out. Social media, I'm mainly on LinkedIn, but, you know, again, I'm trying to have more of a presence on Facebook, and maybe at some point I will on Instagram too, but website's the easiest way to kind of find me, or at least cyber stalk me and find all the other stuff that I'm doing. So,
Jason, thank you so, so much. I'm so grateful for having this opportunity to talk to you today. And thank you for talking to all the goddesses and maybe the gods listening. And I'm going to link up your contact information into the show notes. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
And to goddesses, for those of you listening, remember to be radiant, be powerfully authentic, and know that you can reclaim your fire at any time. Until next time, take care.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Jamming with Jason. Keep on rocking in the audit world, and if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you enjoyed the most about the podcast, and you may even be featured on a future episode. When you're ready to turbocharge your leadership development, join the Briefing Leadership Program, where you get access to everything in one place and can interact directly with me in the group. If you'd like to earn continuing professional education for listening to today's episode, head on over to C-Risk Academy's video on-demand learning platform at ondemand.criskacademy.com. Not only do you get a CPE certificate, but you will also have access to hundreds of video on-demand learning opportunities. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.